My ministry over the last 3 or 4 years has been revolutionized. Been pastoring a long time, but I come to grip with so many things that has been left out of our understanding as ministers of the gospel. When the apostolic anointing kicked in, it began to unfold a lot of stuff that I had no idea how strong those things existed for us to have. It seemed like the heathen is living better than the one who has an inheritance. And that's a problem. And that problem stems from here, not there. Here, not there. What's happening here will happen there. So it's up to us to, and the business people just eavesdropping. It's up to us to, they could use the same thing in the market as we use here in the church because they're Christian. But it's up to us to permit the Holy Spirit to unfold and unveil to us things that we do not know, that will make ministry more effective and be more of a blessing to the people than average.
Yes, sir.
And so the regular doing or some of the revelation that we have been riding on for many years are true and they're good, but they're not all.
Yes.
And so there's a dryness and a deadness, and some ministry even descending instead of ascending.
Yes.
Because the time will determine who you are.
Yes. Yes.
There are seasons that come in, droughts that comes, and if your people and you don't know what to do, you're going to go with it. This week, I have a lot of encounters and a lot of experience over the years with God. And along with the Apostle Paul, I'll probably preach it sometime this week. I'm only dealing with grace. I'm able to do what I'm doing is only by the grace of God. It's not only by the grace of God. And so this morning, I want to start realizing to a greater dimension how much a part, watch what I say now, that praying right has to do with ministry. Not just praying, praying right has to do with ministry. And a lot of you are praying and not getting the results of your prayer. And you know, I got hundreds, probably thousands of people listening to me on the internet. Leroy said 300 tried to register this morning, over 300. And so you had to give them a link some kind of way. Because it's not to everybody. I'm just going to not put it out there. If you don't want it, he cast not pearls of swine, never hold it. You know, so I'm not going to, if you need it and I don't want it, you're not going to get it. But I'll pause and I'll try to use some experience in ministry, not just to tease you or tickle you, but to teach you. And to do that, it's going to have some delays, salahs, that the Holy Spirit will have a chance to say what he won't say at that moment. All right? And so I need you to just recognize this is not a show. And I'm not really too much concerned about your feeling. But we want the Lord to speak, the Father to speak to us, right? And I have been in tangibles anointing before. I've seen moves of the Spirit, and I sensed this week. I know you here. You see, we don't do a whole lot of advertisement, a whole lot of stuff, because I want the right one here. See, I'm not concerned about a crowd. I'm concerned about one who can take it, who want it, and who can be challenged. I do these apostolic seals. I'm presently going to do a devotional with these apostolic seals in them. Here's number one, the thing that we want to accomplish today, and see it in your heart to understand what to look forward to. Because there's some changes going to be made that are going to be bright, bright, bright. There are some lights going to be turned on that need to be turned on brighter. Today, we will shut down delays and defeats in my ministry from the forces of the enemy by operating in a greater force at all time. Pray about that a minute. You can look at it. You can get it off the board. But I want you to see that. I want you to believe that. I want you to accept that. Delays and defeat will be shut down by the word of God and by his anointing. You will learn secrets how to not have defeat. Secrets of how not to have delays. And you'll learn how to operate in a greater force. So pray till that get in you. Drop that in your spirit. Believe that. Accept that. Pray about it a few moments. And defeat. In Jesus' name. Try to get your hand on that as much as you can now. That'll be on the CD. Number two. Just these three seals you can catch the plane. Number two, all frustrations will be removed by outstanding facts that cannot be argued with. Operating in a ministry that already have all victories signed in blood. Lift your hand. Let's pray about that. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. All frustration will be removed by outstanding facts. Cannot be argued with. Operating in a ministry that already have all victories signed in blood. Wow. Wow. Pressing in, children. Come on, a little more. It's there. It's there for you. In Jesus' name. Are you to receive that? All right. Let's do the third one. Changes are coming that I have never seen or thought about. They will give my ministry grips that it will never slip into a normal posture again. Lift your hand and pray to God for that. Pray about it. Hallelujah. All right, in Jesus' name, amen. We've prayed. Let's get seated, get your Bibles and your pad and your iPad or whatever you're taking notes with, you here in the sanctuary and around the world. Ezekiel chapter 37. We have discredited this chapter by going after the bones. It really wasn't about the bones connecting as much as it is by revelation of supposed to be on the mountain and in the valley. Supposed to be on the mountain and living in the valley. Your ministry is supposed to be on the mountain, not living in the valley. You're supposed to go get people out of the valley and bring them to the mountain. Amen? There are some things that I want you to know I'm trying to accomplish in this conference. One of the things that I'm going to have to accomplish from these scriptures and this lesson I'm going to teach this morning is presence. 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 God's presence is so important. Sometimes we move without his presence. And when I say move without his presence, he's always present, but you're not present. You're absent in the flesh. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
And so we'll make sure that God's presence become a reality in every move you make.
Yes, sir.
And then when that happened, I'm going to give you six or seven words that I want you to chew on. When that happened, then you recognize that you're constantly functioning in God's power. Dunamis power. Resurrection power.
Yes, sir.
And then you have some concept of purpose.
Yes, sir.
Purpose. You got to have some purpose. Along with that, there come a mighty, listen to me carefully, a mighty provision. God provide mightily. You heard what I said? God provide always beyond measure. The church had become so militant about provision, not recognizing it's already there. And we as ministers got to get it to them, all right? And then the positioning, you have to know, make sure you're in position. The positioning of ministry that God has put you in, he the one has to give you the ability to make adjustment to him. That wherever he say do it, whoever he say do it with, you don't be concerned about what you need to do. You need to yield to what he's saying, all right? And then, you know, the Bible says about the promises of God. In him, all the promises are yea and amen. Well, at the night time, we're going to talk about, I'm going to deal with grace and I'm going to deal with your soul. I'm going to deal with faith at night. I'm going to deal with a soul sandwich. And we will deal with it in a... Now, every ministry must come to this point. These are some of the things I'm trying to accomplish through this text that the Lord gave me. Authority and dominion will not come in a ministry without prayer.
Yes, sir.
You're just not going to have it. You're just not going to have it. You're just not going to have it. I don't care how good your talk. I don't care how good your outline is. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that. You got to have that heat of prayer. Oh my goodness!
Yes, sir.
To move in another dimension, and move in other levels, and to operate or dominate—that's the word, dominate.
Yes, sir.
Dominate, dominate. So every minister come to the point that to this point they must know how to receive the power, live in the power. And these are some of the things that we're going to see in this text. Stand upon their feet. Become an exceeding great army.
Yes, sir.
Dryness and deadness must go. In ministry, decisions have to be made properly. And our aim is that dominion be released in the life of the people that God has put us over. Let me say that again. Dominion must be released in the life of the people. Not just you dominated, but it must be released in the life of the people. Now this morning, I'm asking the Lord, the four winds of glory will blow in your ministry. That's four winds of glory. I want to tell you before I read, I want to get you prepared, for I don't know what how the Holy Spirit is really going to do all of this. I'm yielding to him, but I want to prepare you for it. For your ministry to be effective, this first one don't seem so glorious. But there has to be destruction and judgment.
Yes, sir. Wow. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Secondly, well, let me say them one at a time. Destruction. Judgment. This don't sound like no minister's conference to me. I don't walk in love. We'll get to love after a while in peace. Third thing is mercy. Fourth thing is grace. Minister got to have this. Next thing is I'm double licking because I'm going to say another word. Because a word that most of you all are suffering from. Provision. Now when I get through with you this week, you ain't going to have that problem. I can't hear you. Now, I'm not giving this stuff away this week, I'm telling you right now. I'm not going to give it away. You're going to have to take it. You're going to sit up here and work me hard. I'll go back there and sit down and eat them in some oranges. Because you know most of us here need some provision. Matter of fact, all of us need provision. Destination. Growth. And harvest. Ezekiel 37. Let me tell you about Ezekiel 35. The shepherd didn't do their job. So the reason we end up in a valley of dry bone, the shepherd didn't do their job on the mountain. And then when you read that 35th chapter of Ezekiel, you're going to see how insufficient ministry will curse a people. And you see where ministers take care of themselves, all fed and doing good, but the people suffering. And I see that worldwide now. Watch how people just pumping the people, but the people need to have some insight and direction where they can rise with you. You read the 35th chapter of Ezekiel, you're going to see how the Lord said, you shepherd didn't do it. And my people are in this condition because my ministers have not fed them as they should be fed. My ministers are too busy trying to feed themselves. Oh man, I should have went somewhere else, man. I don't want to hear this. But if you feed the people, oh my, this come on my spirit now. Yeah, listen to this. If you feed the people, you automatically fed. The people will take care of business if you feed them right. They'll keep coming, they'll keep giving, they'll keep praying for you. Tell me how to handle my family. Tell me how to be a high priest. 36th chapter, same thing. He's talking about the same thing. So I'm not going to begin at the first verse. I'm going to begin at the ninth verse. There's some prophesying that need to be done. There's some word and when. Word and when. Some ministers just got word, but they need word and wind blowing, okay? Ninth verse, the second round of prophecy, he says, let me show you how Ezekiel qualified. The hand of the Lord was upon him, and he was being carried by the Spirit. Now, it's a parallel to what Jesus in Luke chapter 4. They said Jesus was full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Then he turned the sword of the Spirit on Satan. Then he returned back in the power of the Spirit. Then they found out that he had the anointing upon and the anointing within. What? The anointing upon and the anointing within. The within keep you clean. See, that's 1 John 2:27. That's that anointing that abides in you to keep you taught properly. Then in Luke 4:18, the anointing upon you to go set God's people free. But if you're not clean, and if it's not working for you, how can you not go in the outer court and teach it to somebody else? And it's not working in the inner court. Another thing about ministry is classical in these first eight verses of Ezekiel 37. Not only the hand of the Lord was on him and he carried him in a valley full of valley of bone. And first, and then it says it was very many, and it said it was very dry. Now, the spiritual significance there is that if the revelation is not going forth as it should, if the doctrine is not increasing as they should, people finally go in the off top of the mountain in the valley. And let's just face it, a high percentage of the body of Christ is still living in the valley. Yeah. And the heathen, the servant is riding a horse, and what is the king walking? You know you're kings and queens, right? And so ministers will have to realize another thing involved here is government. You see, the glory does not work without government. Now, you have been assigned as God's government in the earth realm. But you got to work right. That the glory can pursue you and pursue your ministry and then pursue anybody who come under you. A person come to your church and say, I know I'm going to get blessed today. I'm not talking about no feeling. I'm talking about getting blessed. Get a word from the Lord, all right? So you got government there. And then you got this question that ministers must answer right. In looking at those dry, very dry bones, the Lord said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, yeah, I'll handle it, Lord. Just hold up. I know what to do. No. He stayed in God's presence, then God told him what to do. He said, Lord, you know. That's a key mantle in the ministry the rest of your life. I don't care how many members you get or what, how high you get in ministry, you always must come back to that point. God, you know. Don't ever trust your last victory. Because it may not handle your present problem. Sometimes we live on, and I like hot pancake. Don't give me no yesterday pancake. Nobody want that. Nobody want that. And I tell you the truth, I don't like cheap stuff. Because the Lord is not cheap. So work your way out of it. All right, so he says, I'm taking my time because there's a lot of stuff I'm going to say here today. And he says, clock don't matter. You look back, clock, just put your watches up. And I said, so I'm not going to work myself real hard because I got too much I got to put out. And so I'll just calmly put it out as long as I can. When you listen to God for instruction, then he tell you what to do. You know, he told him prophesy, and the bone came together. Well, that's a lot of ministries like that. The bone have come together. But they're gathered, but there's no life in them. There's no power. There's no direction. They don't know the greatness that's on the inside of them. We have to let people know when they're born again and the partake of God's divine nature, there's a greatness on the inside of them. Now, so now I go to the second round in a night voice. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God. Now watch what he said. Watch what he said, because this is what I'm going to study, the four winds. Come from the four winds. You see it? Come from the four wind, the east wind, the west wind, the north wind, and the south wind. We're going to see biblically how powerful these winds are, and they are a representation of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Come from the four wind and breathe upon these slain, and they may live. Many, many, and come to your church slain. Wow. Even though they're Christian, but they're slain because their life is not working. Man, you know it's a mess when your life not working. I know some of y'all been sometime your life wasn't working. Mine haven't been working a lot of time. I know I've been through it. Don't say like you don't know what I'm talking about. Thing not working out. You know sometimes things didn't work out. You had the Bible and three notes in your hand. It still wasn't working out. So he said, breathe on. And then he saw in 10th voice, he followed order. So I prophesied how? As he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet. An exceeding great army. That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for the ground God put me in. I want them. I know some of them weak, some of them got habits, but I still want them to stand up as a great army. So I'm going to love them on through. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to love them on through. Just got to love them on through. Yeah. Then the 11th verse said, then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they said, now you know what they said. Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. He said, therefore prophesy again and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will, yeah, we're going to give you another word here now. I will open your grave, living dead people. Your member that don't know what to do. Got to call you every time something come up. You haven't taught them right. You got an office call like a medical doctor. They haven't grown. They don't know who they are. Oh, Lord, I want to be calm. You know, I want to be calm. They don't know they can do it. Know the same power that's in you is in them. Hallelujah. All right. And so that's why the way they looked at themselves. Then the 12th verse said, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of you. Come up out. Come up. Just going to say come out. But come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, says the Lord. Powerful word, isn't it? Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Powerful word, powerful word. Now, in looking at that, we need to look at some of these episodes that take place. Now, one of the greatest ways I see Ezekiel had to prophesy to the wind, but one of the greatest ways of these wind blowing is praying in the spirit. It'll cause the wind to blow. I said praying in the spirit. will cause the winds to blow. All right, now. Here's what happened. We pray in the Spirit and understand that we need the Spirit of God blowing on our ministry from full direction. There's a supernatural manifestation of greatness when God's wind is moving in a situation. There's a supernatural manifestation of greatness. When I read that, I think about 1 Chronicles 29. Look at, I think, the 11 and 12 verse. You have to, for a ministry to be great, they got to know his greatness. They have to know the quality of the one who sent them. And they got to stay under the umbrella of that quality and of that greatness. And I think that 12 and 20, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Wow. I'm under that greatness. I'm operating in greatness because you're great. I can declare I've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in them. So, and the power. Look all this up in God. And the glory. And the victory. And the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Go to the next verse. I watch you preachers' faces. It doesn't excite you. You just, that's just your problem. I watch your face. If that voice don't excite you, I don't know. I don't know what I can do up here. I don't have no greater voice than that voice for this week. Both riches and honor come of thee. Look what it said next. Look what it said next. And thou reignest over all. I'm talking about your ministry umbrella. I'm talking about the umbrella you should be under. You don't have no time for no graveyard. You ain't got no time for making up no bed in the valley. And in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand, oh my goodness. In thy hand is to make great. Make ministers like you. God want to make ministers like him. Not like a sukkulayesh. Not like the organized religion have made. He want to make ministers like him. In position. In power. In presence. In provision. In purpose. And in our hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Powerful. You need to meditate that voice. You may be seated. Be seated. Now, permit me to go over a few things to lag around a little bit here, because it's important that I get this thing out like the Lord won't get it out. So God showed the prophet Ezekiel a valley of dry bones, right? And it was represent the house of Israel. When you say the house of Israel now, we can think about the church, the body of Christ, that represent the house of Israel. The bone was dry because they had been in a state of death for a long time. Now, I really believe to a certain extent the church has. I know we're all doing our ministry and getting some success, but at large, ministers, I think the church has been in a sort of a slump. Yes, sir. But God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the death. Prophesy to the death, and look what happened. He prophesied to the death. And you have dead spot in your ministry sometime. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus say the Lord God. I don't want you to see something now. We're going to deal with this first one in a few minutes. We're going to deal with the east wind in a few minutes. But he said, come from the four winds. Didn't he say that? Yes. Oh, breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied as he commanded. Don't just prophesy now. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, just like he said. And they lived and stood up on their feet as an exceeding great army. Now God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the four winds to bring life to these dead, dry bones. So we got the east wind, the west wind, the south wind, and the north wind. I want to break them down for you so you can look for them. I'm going to take you to scripture. I'm going to tell you how many times it was mentioned in the Bible. When I came upon some information, I said, my, years ago, I said, my God. So the east wind is mentioned 17 times in scripture. The east wind represent destruction and judgment. Now, my next statement, see, you say, well, where are you going with this? My next statement going to clear your whole ministry up. The east wind represents destruction and judgment. It removed all barriers in your life. Everything blocking you, everything, your pharaohs and Goliaths. And Red Seas and Jordan rivers and Jericho walls and fire and lime. the east wind. I heard somebody say the east wind. Yeah, it represents destruction and judgment. It removes all barriers in your life. It is very powerful wind. It's fierce, dry, and a hot wind. Turn to Hosea. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm going to try to stay calm. Y'all pray for me. Lord, help me. Yeah, this thing here. Man, this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How many of y'all have some barriers need to move? If you don't have them, you're not in ministry. Hosea gave a warning in the 13th chapter. I'll tell you the verse in a minute. To evildoers that are east wind from the Lord will come blowing in from the desert. His spring will fail and his well will dry up and his storehouses will be plundered of all this treasure. And somebody who come against your ministry. And then you call for them for wind. That destruction and judgment wind come and remove every barrier that is hesitating your ministry, hesitating your life. Hosea 13:15. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, and east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. The east wind, watch this now, it moved barriers. How many of y'all admit y'all need some barriers moved? All right. So that is right there. Yeah, I call that east wind across your ministry. And to begin to blow those enemies and things that are hindering you out the way. Turn to Exodus. You see, oh my. Exodus chapter 10. You notice I give you the chapter, I don't give you the verse. Sometimes people forget who's leading. They get all the hair, you read, you get that own little idea, you know. Shout over that revelation. The east wind was also the one that brought the plague of locusts that destroyed everything. There remained not one green thing, not a tree, not a plant throughout all the land of Egypt. That east wind is a powerful wind, boy. Listen, deal with the enemy. Listen, in verse chapter 10, verse 12. You got to see this now.
Yes, sir.
I see you got to see this.
Yes, sir.
I got a new Bible getting stuck on me. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt. You know why? Because Pharaoh trying to hold his ministry back. And eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left. And Moses, see yourself, you're a minister now. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day. Destruction and judgment all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Somebody come against you. They don't want to face the east wind. And you know there's an east wind. So you know, Hakosileme, you know there's no barrier that can stop you. Because you're sent by God. And in every attack, God's going to give you an answer. The affairs of your ministry today move beyond standard. The impartation of supernatural protection. I release them on every minister and every person in the sound of my voice that the opposing opposition the next time going to face a fiercer dimension of resistance. All Moses had to do was stretch forth the rod. Moses never got cut. Them locusts did the job. Because they was coming against God's people. And their man who was leading them had the voice of God. We must have, children, we must have the voice of God. Before you move, don't panic. Wait for the voice. Wait for the direction. The direction, you move, you're going in the natural. The direction going to be in the supernatural. How many of y'all ever move ahead of God? You know what happened. You came back with your tail between your legs. You know what happened. Because it don't work like that. It don't work. You just can't take scriptures and go jump out there. Did it speak to you? You trying to make the scripture speak to something else and it haven't spoken to you. You don't have the force behind you. You don't have the power behind you when you're speaking scripture that haven't spoken to you. I tell my enemy, don't do that. Let's talk about it. You really don't want to do that. That's it. No, that's, I understand. Let's just talk about it. See if we can get it straight. You really don't want to do this. because I know what's going to happen to them. That's not pride, sister and brother. That's truth. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, lock in. Yeah, write that down and circle it. Lock in. Write that on your punch it in your pad. Lock in and circle it. Because they're gonna, this week some things are going to come up like that out of my spirit, you see. Lock in. And actually, if I go further with it, you lock in to victory the rest of your life. You're locked in to victory. No matter what comes, you are locked in to win the rest of your life. I prophesied over you. No matter what comes, the outcome going to be that you win. You're locked in the victory. Don't care what wall built, what fire burning, what sea trying to stop you, that can't stop you no more. You want there, but security? You want me to tell you what I heard? Huh? The jail doors just come open. Any type of containment. Come on, man. Come on, let me preach up with you. Any type of containment you came your wit in your life or in your ministry, the door's just been opened. Yeah. See, when you preach, things for it to happen.
Yeah. Come on, Apostle. Yes,
sir. I give you another word. From this day forward, you cannot be held on the same level. From this day forward, I cannot be held on the same level. Why? That which was holding you on that level is blown away by the east wind. I'll give many impartation this week. Somebody might end up with a mantle. They're different, you know. See, impartation or instruction. Mantles are identity. See, I sat under my prophet until I had his identity. Elijah sat under Elijah until he got his identity. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. Yeah. It'll cost you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So every aspect of your ministry, you can look and see this, see what damage, destruction and judgment this east wind can bring. And, you know, it represents the Holy Spirit. Israel had left Egypt, but now Pharaoh and his host were after them. Because behind them was Pharaoh. You remember that? And in front of them was the Red Sea, right? They were stuck in the middle. You ever been stuck in the middle? The sea was, should I tell them now about this? I had two families a couple of Sundays ago. Outside, two women going after each other about their children or something like that. And they told me, when they got to my house at the table, they told me that. I said, what? My members don't ever act crazy like that. But I just had taught some of the stuff I'm going to teach you tonight about the soul. And Satan, all the demons got on their knees and said, stop him, Lord. Don't let him teach them too much. But they couldn't do nothing about it. And so I got on my iPhone and spoke into it and sent the same message to both women. I said, now y'all love God. Y'all love me. That's not from you all. That's from the enemy. He can give you a thought, an idea, and a suggestion. And now you're going to keep reinforcing it. I said, now, behind this come counsel. Bankruptcy. Because everything you permit to go through your soul coming in your life. And then I ministered to them. And they both responded. And they both was happy Sunday. They don't want all that mess in their life. And that's how you get that mess in your life. He got to come through your soul first. Your spirit rejected. I'm not going to go tonight. That's tonight. They were stuck in the middle. The sea was the barrier. Hey, listen. Remember I said remove all barrier? Hey, it doesn't matter how big the barrier proposed to be. As your ministry increase, you're going to have larger barriers trying to stop because you're dealing with more people. You better get these little barriers straight. And the reason, because some of that, the reason ministry does not increase because you don't get the little barriers. You're compromised. You're trying to contemplate what to do. No, it has to be revealed to you. You must not be a people pleaser. You're killing the people with their own pleasure. Tell them what they need to hear. They'll never leave you. Tell them what they need to hear. They'll never leave you if they're real. And then if they're not real, you want them to go. They were stuck in the middle. The sea was the barrier and obstacle that would surely bring death to them and their young one. Right? By this conclusion, the children of Israel were beside themselves in fear and mourning at Moses. Watch it now. Moses called upon God and looked at what God did. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go what? Back by a strong what? East wind, and all that night. and made the sea dry land. Turn to Exodus 14. You got to know about these things in your ministry. You're going to have opposition. You have things come up. You're going to have families rise up. People rise up. Even other ministries rise up because you won't do it just like they do it. That's the only way you're going to get out. That's the only way you're going to get out. And the 12th verse says, and is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptian? For if it had been better for us to serve the Egyptian, see the Pharaoh army behind him, then we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. See, people need to hear that. Yeah, I like when the Lord give me a fresh word. I come out and say, this is going to happen right now. Yeah. For the Egyptian whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. My goodness. The Lord shall fight for you. Every minister needs to know that, huh? And you shall hold your peace. You don't have to fight. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore thou criest of me? Stretch, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward, the Red Sea, go forward. But lift thy up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, will harden the heart of the Egyptian. And they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariot and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptian shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariot and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord and the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to thee, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong. East wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the water was divided, and the children of Israel went on over. Powerful, isn't it? God, east wind, get this down now, to remove the barrier stopping his children from moving forward. Take it personal now. Take it personal. I mean, it's for ministry, but take it personal. Yeah. See, that wind wake for you personal.
Yes, sir.
That was stopping you from moving forward. Got to go.
Yes, sir.
I hear one lady say, wow. That's right. That, yes, that's what you come down here to receive.
Yes, sir.
Praying about this a whole year.
Yes, sir.
This is the moment.
Yes, sir.
The east wind is the wind of destruction and judgment to every barrier in your life.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Now, unto me, if your ministry don't move, that means you wasn't called. You started up a ministry.
Yes, sir.
It's impossible,
yeah,
to sit under this type of truth,
yeah,
and your ministry don't increase.
Yes, sir.
I ain't thinking about no devil.
Yes, sir.
Devil can't stop you.
Yes, sir.
How a defeated person gonna stop a victorious person? Tonight I'll share with you. You're walking around with a perfect spirit. You're trying to change the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Watch out. Or your spirit needed some cooperation.
Yes.
Yes. Praying in the spirit activate these winds. Now this west wind, mentioned one time in the Bible. The west wind, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Blows from the west in an eastward direction. And it's very mild wind and most favorable. Let me tell you what it is, and so we can be on the same page. I feel the glory. I believe in evidence. I believe in manifestation, demonstration. You know, I really believe it. You know, I believe in demonstration, evidence. You?
Yes.
See, now when you talk about this west wind, you're talking about mercy and grace. You're going to need mercy and grace. Huh? What he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find mercy and grace to help in a time of need.
Yes,
every ministry.
Yes,
matter of fact, every person, every family, we need mercy and grace.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your mercy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your grace.
Yes,
we can't do without it.
Yes,
you can't function in your own strength.
Right.
It's west wind of mercy and grace. A very mild and favorable wind. Egypt was under the plague. Swarm of locusts. It was so dense that it made the country dark. There was a total devastation of crops. And harvest was totally destroyed in all of Egypt. Just trying to show you a bad condition. When Pharaoh saw all of his nation vegetation, everything gone by the east wind, he repented. And Moses asked God mercy over the land, and God sent the west wind. Don't Don't be so hard that you don't forgive a person who come back to you and ask you to forgive them. Don't keep your foot on that person. Put your arm around them and say, yes, I forgive you. Because whose sin you retain is retained. But whoever sin you remit is remitted. If you don't forgive them, you carry it. You can't become hard. You can't become a taskmaster in ministry. There must be some softness in your heart toward people who have made a mistake. He that without sin. And most of the stuff I did, I wouldn't have done if you'd have trained me right. You'd have told me what was happening to me. How the enemy was getting in on me. We'll take care of that tonight. Listen to what happened. Here's old tough Pharaoh now. That went and hit him. That went of destruction judgment. Now you want mercy and grace. I ain't giving you nothing. Let the wind blow. See? That's that unloving ministry. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in hand and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. And entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind. Turn to Exodus 10 again. I want you to see in the Bible. He said, I want some principle of me. I want, you know, I want something so I can go back and preach. What? What? What are you talking about? You want one of them Baptist sermons we used to go back in the back and buy. You can't buy the spirit. You can buy the letter. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's look at it in the Bible. Let's look at it. I'll read it off my note. Look at it in Exodus 10, 16. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron ahead and said, I have sinned against thee, the Lord your God, and against you now, therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. And indeed the Lord your God, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. That's the west wind. Mercy and grace. You don't have no mercy and grace in your ministry. You're not, you know. Yeah, my bad. Call that out. What? How long have I been preaching here, boy? Hallelujah. Now, the south wind is mentioned five times in the Bible. South wind is a soft, gentle, and warm wind. But listen very carefully. It's the wind of provision and destination. Ah. Say provision.
Provision.
Destination.
Destination.
I'll get instruction today. Provision and destination. Jesus talked about the south wind. He said in Luke 12:55, when you see the south wind blow, he said that there will be heat and it cometh to pass. Wow. See, that south wind is the provisional wind.
Right.
And it's the wind that sail you to your destination.
Wow.
Luke says in Acts 27:13, mark these scriptures. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening them, 28:13 says, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rigum, and after one day the south wind blew. Stay with me. Turn to Psalm 78. You got to shout glory on?
Yes,
sir. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verse 26 through 29 in the Amplified Bible about this south wind. And by his power he brought in the south wind. He ran flesh also upon all them as dust, and feathered fowl like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and was well filled. That south wind brought it in. I said the south wind brought it in. How many winds we got left?
One.
The north wind. I heard somebody say it. I think it's Solomon. Got a book in the Bible called Solomon? Song of Solomon. Turn there. Chapter 4, verse 16. North wind. You know what the north wind is, right? Who, raise your hand. Who knows what the north wind is? Nobody knows. Growth and harvest. Growth and harvest, growth and harvest, growth and harvest, man. Somebody kick their leg up now. Growth and harvest, man. growth and harvest, man. Listen to me. I didn't get you all of them flying and cold weather from all the, just to talk to you.
Yeah. Come on.
I want you to leave here and know how to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to have growth.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have harvest. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It says, Song of Solomon 4:16, awake is your first word. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Awake, O north wind, and come. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Ooh, Jesus. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit.
Yeah. Wow.
I see y'all ain't abroad. Y'all ain't got no revelation. Man, they don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You see, the north wind, what the north wind? That breath of the spirit,
yeah,
is growth and harvest.
Yes, sir.
Look at this vice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you don't understand this voice, you need a hearse. It's saying it. It's saying it. You've come here, and I'm imparting to you growth and harvest.
Yes, sir.
Mark it on your calendar that growth and harvest will be upon you. First day, provision and destiny. First day, mercy and grace. First day, judgment and destruction. First day, barriers removed, right? Here you're talking about barrenness. I see so many ministries that's suffering from barrenness. Good people, anointed. You just got to know how to call the wind. Pray in the spirit and call a wind. I call a full wind of glory on my ministry. I call a full wind of glory on my ministry. That's what is a barrier to me gonna move, and then all barrenness. Look at this verse. We don't read this book much, but look at this verse. Awake. That's the first word. O north wind, and come, blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. The north wind is a wind of vibrant growth and harvest. Watch what I say now. May God blow your God so that spices may flow and that there's a great harvest of rain. The north wind will destroy barrenness out of your life. You got the barriers out. Now you're getting barrenness out. This wind will make you fruitful and your life an aroma of joy. Hallelujah. And you have to pray in the spirit, you see. Have to pray in the spirit. Have to pray in the spirit. The Holy Ghost made his entrance at a rushing mighty wind, and they then began to speak in other tongues. The winds of God, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's for now. You get this down for your church. Are for revival, renewal, refreshing, resurrection, and rejuvenation. Oh, yeah, you're trying to write right now, right? Okay. I ain't got no good response to this. My wife keeps telling me, I said, honey, I said, in church, you heard what I said, son? I said, they should have been. She said, no, honey, they're trying to write that down, you saying. Calm me down. I said, what's the matter with them? For revival, expect revival in your ministry. Renewal, expect renewal. Don't expect the same old, same old. Refreshing. Resurrection. That wasn't working. It will come alive. And rejuvenation. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say. I don't have a part in you I'm looking for. Maybe I wasn't touching it anymore. I've been preaching an hour anyway. An hour and what? Hour 2 minutes? If you work for me, you got to say an hour and 25 minutes to make me look good. As you pray in tongues, every barrier in your life will be blown by the winds of God. Barrenness and frustration in ministry will be a thing of the past. Amen. Y'all receive this, please. Yes, as you pray in tongues, yes, the wind of destiny is blowing into your safe haven. As you pray in tongues, the wind of mercy, favor, and grace is over your life. As you pray in tongue and pray in the spirit, the wind of God's abundance, abundant provision, will break the yoke of poverty out of your life. So I tell you at all time, I do it sometime. I take these notes. You have them now because they come from my note. Pray in tongue and release the four mighty winds of God in your life and in your ministry. Remember, now let's go over those eight things. Tell me the first one. There's eight things. What? First win. Destruction. You understand? That things that come against you, if they don't heed to the word, destruction is going to come. And judgment is going to come. Judgment is the second word, right? What's the third one? Mercy. You know you need mercy in your ministry. And you need to be merciful in your ministry. I'm learning as apostolically the Lord taught me about grace, and he began to teach me about grace and faith combination, balance, and then he teach me about the soul, and a lot of suffering we're going through is because of our soul, and we'll get that straight this week. What's the next word?
Grace.
Okay, powerful word. All right, what's the next one?
Provision.
Next one? What word that is? Number six? Seven? All right, let me give me the other two. What the other one is?
Rowing.
And harvest. Now, if you look at that, that's exactly what your ministry needs. Isn't it? Huh? And now, let me say something. Not arrogantly. Let me say something. It's been there all the time. See? It's been there all the time. Now, as you begin to pray this matter, you know, you take one of them, the first one, judgment and destruction. Say, Lord, I'm praying right here, right now. Just pray in tongues. Just listen to him. He's going to show you the enemy. Then he's going to show you how you're going to stop him. Then all you got to do now is watch. Let's go to the end. Growth and harvest. All right, Lord, say I'm praying in the spirit about growth and harvest in my life and in my ministry. And just pray in tongues until he releases you. Whet your appetite. When you're praying in tongues about growth and harvest, your spirit already has it. So you're not trying to convince your spirit. So I'm going to show you how to deal with your soul. Your soul is blocking manifestation. Your soul is blocking revelation. Your soul is blocking healing. Your soul is blocking your money. Your soul is blocking your relationship. Got to get them wounds and image and idols out of your soul. You're going to leave here clean. Next time you pass, next time you hit your pulpit, you're going to be a bad boy, a bad girl. I'm telling you, because it's your soul is unrestful. You don't know what's happening to you. See, your spirit is perfect. Everything the Bible says is already done. Oh, second. Church, say what? All the promises of God are what? How? In him. Before this week over, you might fly back on your own. Just don't go to the gym. Probably I'm going home. Possible. Man did it in Acts.
Watch out, man.
I like to see it two or three times myself.
Amen.
It could be done. That's not stretching your imagination. That's stretching your natural imagination. But it's not stretching the imagination of God. Because God's imagination stand on both ends at one time.
Wow.
At what he's thinking about and being there.
Wow.
That's your imagination getting all messed up. You got to take on his imagination. You take on his imagination, you'll see yourself not being where you are. You follow what I'm saying? See, you listen, you come here to this ministry, you come here this year, and the Lord is really dealing with me apostolically, and the reason I preach from Ezekiel 37, that's why my apostolic ministry started in that valley with them very, very, very many and very dry bones. He says, if you can't preach your way out of here, you ain't no apostle. You don't learn certain lessons that you cannot depend on your own strength. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace that was bestowed on me wasn't in vain. For what did he say next? For I labor more than you. Then he said, yet not I, but the grace that's with me.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
He that does not live by faith, frustrate grace. The Bible talks about grace failure.
Yes.
Trying to do it themselves.
Yes.
And won't yield. to the favor of God.
Yes,
we yield to the favor of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you got blessed this morning. I'm not going to teach alone. You got blessed. I got to teach tonight. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just pray those prayers. I had some other things I wanted to say about that. You and Barbara put everything in my notepad because the Lord has showed me some other things. What time it is?
12:26.
You see that meal? I'm closing.
Come on.
Okay, I know that old Baptist boy, he always holler, you know. No, I rushed him so much, they didn't even put it in here. I asked Bob, what a little black pamphlet I give her. Little small, thin one with them tabs in on it. I'm closing. Get the envelope, get ready to get y'all. I'm closing. Get the envelope. Listen. Get your pad. Stop the music. Get your pad. Your strength in ministry is not making a deal, but by always being yield. Your strength in ministry is not by making a deal, is by always being yield. That's very important because there's a lot of time the deal look like it's better than yielding, but it's not. Because you make the deal, that man or that person or whoever you're dealing with going to have to help you, and they're not going to go all the way. But if you yield all the time and turn down the deals, refuse to compromise, do exactly what he tell you to do. Got that? Keep the Holy Spirit in charge, and he will be your bodyguard of your success in ministry. Keep the Holy Spirit in charge, and he'll be the bodyguard, your spiritual bodyguard of your success in ministry. Levels, lifting, leaping, lights are coming in greater dimension from this day forward. You ready? You got that? Talking fast, huh? I'm getting hungry. That's why I'm talking fast. Windows, doors, and gates have to be opened properly to sustain your ministry progress. Windows, doors, and gates. So you can pray about that. Has to be opened properly to sustain your ministry progress. You got to have them windows keep open. The doors got to be, and gates got to keep open. And this is when you got to try to figure it out yourself. Because they just said that it's popped up. In your ministry, is your ministry under the prophetic, or are you operating in the pathetic? Look up pathetic. You see, I looked it up. Moses, Ezekiel, and Hosea had the winds of glory blowing in their ministry. You know, we went through some of Moses, Hosea, you remember that? But they had the winds of glory blowing in their ministry. All right, that's all I'm going to give you this morning. Wow. I'm going to read this what it was. You got the best part of it. Every barrier in your life and ministry will be blown by the winds of God. Barrier. Barrenness and frustration in the ministry will be a thing of the past. The wind of provisions and destiny will blow you into your safe haven. Here's what it says. A place of safety. A place offering favorable conditions to provide with shelter or refuge. A structure that covers or affords protection. And then now I release the wind of mercy, favor, and grace over your life. I said earlier, the wind of God's abundant provision will break the yoke of poverty out of your life and ministry. I'll see y'all tonight.